Down to business on News Talk.
Thanks to Bank of Ireland, supporting enterprise locally through the National Enterprise Town Awards.
Pat Fitzpatrick is a regular voice on radio and TV. And one thing he's well known for is fondness for and pride in his native Cork. He did live 15 years in Dublin, so he's well qualified to talk about his latest book, which will be out in a couple of weeks. And the book is called 101 Reasons Why Cork is Better Than Dublin. Pat Fitzpatrick. Now, straight away you're in
How to get a clap in Cork.
It's a home crowd.
And by the way, it's the first in an 8-volume series, right?
Pat, it's and again, I've read through snippets of it. Firstly, why did you write this book?
To be honest, the money. Pal Donoghue from Mercia rang me one day, and I did a book with him previously on parenting, and he just rang, and we'd been bantering about a Cork book around another thing we were doing, and he just came back to me once and said, why wouldn't you do 101 Reasons Cork is Better Than Dublin? And like, I was already writing about Tenora about 5 minutes later. Do you know what I mean? It was the most obvious thing in the world. I'd lived in both places. I lived in Cork for a lot of my life, but I lived in Dublin for 15 years as well, from around 1990 through to 2003. So
tell us about the process, and maybe things like Tenora are fairly obvious.
Yeah.
But in terms of things like, you talk about, say, the value. So you got to go and do some research in Dublin and pay €23 for a hotel breakfast.
Yeah, well, like,
but you could pay that in Cork as well.
You want to be, that'd be a stretch. I mean, the reason they call it a weekend break in Dublin is because by the end of the weekend, you're broke. Like, I'm amazed, though, that like it is like someone turns you upside down and shook you until all the money fell out of your pockets when you go to Dublin. And I remember after moving back to Cork around 2004, 2005, you'd go up to Dublin and you just look at your kind of spending the night before and your three visits to the ATM, one of them which you can't remember usually, you know. But like you're out of all this, and it was just generally things are much, much more expensive up there. And you know, on a serious point in terms of livability, and you talk about housing, I probably couldn't do what I do, the kind of work that I do. I couldn't do it in Dublin. I couldn't live in Dublin and do that.
Yeah,
I couldn't.
It's even not though sustainable. Does Cork not have its own housing issues
it's
in terms of price and that?
I mean, in terms of affordability, because the salaries down here aren't really that much different, but the housing is just different.
Yeah. Okay, let's look at a few of them. We'll start with Shandon Bells. You say, first of all, there are no queues of Irish people forcing their English visitors to come and see it. But you don't see too many Trinity students around Shandon Bells.
Like I was comparing it to the Book of Kells, right? And the first thing you say about the Book of Kells is that it? Right?
and it's in Trinity.
It's a very small book. I mean, my 101 Reasons Cork is Better Than Dublin is actually bigger than the Book of Kells. And I think I remember in Dublin, if an English person ever, a friend or people, colleagues came over, you'd bring them to see the Book of Kells to prove we weren't thick. Look, we produced this. But compared to like Shandon Bells, right? You can go up to Shandon Bells, you pay a fiver, you can play out various tunes on the bells. Now, there's great views. I mean, it's not compared to the Guinness Storehouse, right? Which is, I think, basically is just an unobstructed view of Bargantown. Yeah. Like, that's the one. No, I mean, Bargantown has great value, I believe. But, you know, compared to Shandon, the view from the top of that is fantastic. You can whack out for a fiver, you can play the bells, and you're in and out, and you don't have to meet Trinity students who think they're Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Now,
I would like to be.
Tell me about the River Lee. Is calling Cork City the Venice of the North not a bit rich?
No, well, it is not. And for people who've never been to Venice, so like, you know what, we're actually in an island here, right? So the river splits up by the County Hall, joins again on the other side of us down here by the Idler. And so that's Cork people, that was enough. We're the Venice of the North because there's kind of two branches. But the Liffey is a pathetic river. I mean, it doesn't even rise in Dublin. You know, it rises in, is it Meath or Kildare?
Kildare.
All the embarrassment of having to get your river in from another. I'd be devastated if I had to get my river in from another
so
county.
So the Lee is self-contained.
And if you were to write a poem, it would be, you know, oh Liffey, oh Liffey, your smell is quite iffy. I turned my back on my bike, it was gone in a jiffy. It doesn't, you know, invoke anything. Like, we'd write the songs about our rivers down here. You wouldn't write a song about the Liffey,
John
would you?
John Spillane will be with us a bit later on. He's got a great song for us today. There's great ambassadors for Cork that you reference throughout the book. Two of whom are the O'Donovan brothers from Skibbereen. They really, I think, epitomise good things about Cork people.
They do, yeah. Like, I mean, do you remember them on the
Graham, they're great. I know them. They're
I don't
great.
Know why they're not on the Graham Norton show all the time. Because you can look at the video of them on the Graham Norton show and they're extremely funny. And, like, in fairness, the rowing wouldn't be that interesting. No one tunes in to watch the rowing. They tune in to watch the interview afterwards. You'd be devastated if you missed the interview. You wouldn't mind if you missed the rowing. It's, as they say themselves, into the water and pull like a dog, like so. But they make it interesting, which is some achievement.
Yeah, no, and they're good lads and they're grounded guys too. Yeah. Well, Michael Collins, you also mentioned, he comes in at number 51.
Yeah.
His legacy?
Well, I mean, first of all, the thing about him is, of course, he was shot by a Cork man. Now, if he was shot by a Dublin man, I could have made, you know, I could have made hay in this book, obviously. But he was shot. His legacy, the best thing was, in a way, that he was shot, because if he wasn't, he would have led Ireland and probably moved the capital to Cork, which would have ruined it, our total sense of purpose of being the angry second city. So in a way, it's probably best that he didn't make it.
And saved us all those years of Dev.
Yeah, exactly.
You talk about water sports. And again, Cork Harbour, we'll be talking to John Mullins, the chairman of the Cork of Port a bit later on. But Cork Harbour is a special place, a natural harbour.
It is.
It's a wonderful, wonderful place.
And I mean, anywhere within here, like I always say, you know, go travel an hour from Cork and you can be, you know, you could be to Kerry if you're really stuck, like. But, you know, travel an hour from Dublin, and no offence to Athlone, but you could be in Athlone if the M50 wasn't too bad. And I think there's no, and like the East Coast is a sad coast, really. Like, no one's going to call it the Wild Irish Seaway. You know, sorry. I remember living there though, and like you pretty much see guys. I lived near Sandymount. That was when you told me once that you lived in Montanati. So I lived in a posh part of Dublin for about an hour before the wage.
I was in a flat in Montanati, by the way.
Right, about 10 minutes after he met him, he said, "Do you know I lived in Montanati?" So he learned something when he was in Cork. But like, you'd be sitting on the beach in Sandymount and there'd be guys wading with Welsh accents. They'd have waded across from Wales. Like, so there's no sea there at all. It's a sad old bay, Dublin Bay. Whereas Cork Harbour is fantastic and the coastline is great.
I'm amazed at number 78, one of the great rock bands to come out of Cork. What about Crystal Swing?
Yeah, I think we've misunderstood Crystal Swing. Like, in a way, I think we were too close to Crystal Swing because we saw a guy singing love songs to his sister, which, you know, which really was a bit off, even for East Cork. Do you know what I mean? It didn't sit well, a bit like Derek's jacket. But then Ellen DeGeneres kind of spotted what it was really about, which was that it was a joke and that they were in on the joke. And, you know, these kind of... The notion that Irish music these days has to be about a sad old singer-songwriters, other than John Spillane, may I say, who can't get someone to talk to them on the bus, you know, that kind of stuff. Whereas they were great and they were a joke, and I think they were a credit to Cork.
All right, two more quick ones. One I didn't know, but now that I think about it, Ireland's Fittest Family, with the exception of Davy Fitzgerald.
Well, it's a media training course for former Cork sports stars like that. So you've got Donegh O'Callaghan, Dermot O'Rourke and Anna Geary, all of them brilliant in their own way. So Davy Fitz, but see, Davy Fitz has the kind of requisite angry grudge thing. So like, he's an honourable Cork, he's shown great form there, and I think he probably might even lead the Cork curling team at some point as well. So
I'll give you one more. Do you want to talk about Barry's Tea or Tanora?
Because like, not talking, if you know, to talk about 101 reasons Cork is better than Dublin and not mention Tanora is like writing a 20th century history, or writing a history of Germany and leaving out the 20th century, if you know what I mean. That, like, Tanora, even though people don't give their kids sugary drinks that much anymore, at Christmas now we'd be hosing it into our kids going, look at that, you're from Cork, isn't that lovely drink now, look. There weren't things much better before. So Tanora is a kind of a nostalgia drink. And for advertisers out there, I challenge anyone to come up with a better ditty than Wet Your Whistle with Tanora is the one you want some more.
And I have to tell you too, and my wife's embarrassment, and she won't mind me mentioning this, when we lived in Cork, she used to drink vodka and Tanora.
Well, you can get gin-flavoured Tanora now if you're up for it. So,
Pat Fitzpatrick, ladies and gentlemen, what a legend. Well done, Pat.